Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of the Romans. We'll be reading from the fifth chapter of the book of the Romans, verses 1 through 11, which is found on page 980 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word to all of us through the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church at Rome. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our own sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Why, one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man one will dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we are now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received our reconciliation. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. I had prepared a sermon for this morning that was based on our lectionary reading from the Gospel of John about the story of the woman at the well, one of my favorite stories. But given all of the developments over the course of the last week concerning the coronavirus, I feel somewhat compelled to say a few words about that this morning. Certainly a subject that has been on all of our hearts and minds, certainly something that's been difficult to escape, try as I might. The subject kept coming up and coming up, and of course the news media has been careful to update us on every new case, both here in the state of Pennsylvania and across our country. So it's certainly been something that has been at the forefront of our national conversation, something that has been in the forefront of our international dealings. In the course of the last week, we've had a major presidential address on the subject, a presidential declaration of emergency, a roller coaster stock market that has been up and down and all over the place, and the general public has often been confused and bewildered and filled with not a little bit of fear and anxiety. According to the Centers of Disease Control, there are now 1,629 cases of the virus here in the United States and 41 confirmed deaths. There have been about 23 cases reported in the state of Pennsylvania. And, of course, worldwide, there have been about 133,000 reported cases of this virus. During times like these, of course, it's tempted for us to play the blame game, looking around for someone to blame. Whose fault is this? Are the Chinese to blame? Are the Europeans to blame? Are the Iranians to blame? Who's to blame? Maybe God is to blame. Maybe God is punishing us for whatever reason. I haven't heard that so much this time around, but I remember hearing it during the Ebola crisis, that God is causing this crisis in order to punish us for some other reason. The fact of the matter is that we live in a broken and sinful world. We live in a fallen world, a beautiful world, a world that God has created, but it is a broken and fallen world. And the consequences of that sinfulness and fallenness is often reflected in sickness and disease, in heartbreak, in pestilence, and death. Every epidemic reminds us of how vulnerable we are as human beings, how frail we are, and also how interconnected we are. It would be nice, of course, if we could build a wall and keep all the bad people out and only receive all the good people. But this disease has reminded us that even the so-called good people, the people that we consider good and acceptable, are people who are susceptible to this disease. And so we've had to now block them from being able to come into our country as well. This disease, of course, is no respecter of persons. It doesn't care where you live, doesn't care if you live in China, doesn't care if you live in Iran, doesn't care if you live in Italy, doesn't care if you live in the United States, doesn't care if you are rich, doesn't care if you're poor, doesn't care if you're black, doesn't care if you're white, doesn't care what your political views are, if you're Democrat or Republican, conservative or liberal, doesn't care. It's an equal opportunity infector. And so that has caused a great deal of fear and anxiety, knowing that any one of us can become infected by this disease and not knowing, at least at this moment, the extent of those who might already be infected. We can understand the fear and the anxiety. But as God's people, you and I are called to be different. You and I are called to be people who are not dominated by our fears and anxieties. Not that we aren't called to be smart, not that we aren't called to be prudent, not that we shouldn't take the careful measures to protect ourselves and others. And that is what a lot of the recommendations are about, protecting ourselves and others so that we do not spread this pandemic. But we are called not to be dominated by our fears and our anxieties. Because when we become dominated by our fears, we start to panic. And when we panic, we do things that aren't necessarily so smart. Like buy up all the toilet paper. I was at the store the other day and thought I would just run in and get some cat food and a few items. It was 8:30 in the morning and the place was packed. Far more than 250 people. And so if we're not to have person-to-person contact, I worry about those who are in our stores and buying and hoarding and all the like. When we become afraid, we start acting irrationally. And when we become afraid, we also stop being open to others. We stop being the loving, caring, giving, compassionate people that God has called us to be. One of the things that we need to remember whenever we are faced with a situation like this, whenever we are afraid or anxious, that we are called to remember who we are as God's people. We are called to remember the values that ought to define us. Rodney Starks, in his influential book, The Rise of Christianity, undertakes to discover how Christianity went from being a relatively small and obscure religion of around 3,000 people in some far-known, far-flung corner of the Roman world to, in the space of two or three centuries, become the dominant religious force in the ancient world, reaching numbers of around 5 to 6 million people. Big numbers in the ancient world. Of course, you and I know how that happened. It happened through the power of the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit at work. But Starks explains that it was also the way that many Christians conducted themselves during times of danger. He especially notes the two great epidemics of plague that roiled much of the ancient Roman world in the 3rd and 4th centuries. In the ancient world, remember, they didn't have any doctors, or they had few doctors, few people who practiced medicine if you had enough money. But there were no hospitals, there were no nurses, there were no infrastructures of caring that we tend to take for granted today. Those things would be later introduced by Christians themselves. But in the ancient world, when you became ill, you were basically on your own. You had your family, of course. They were there to take care of you. But during times of plague, you didn't even have that, because many families, out of fear for their own lives and their own safety, would often abandon those who came down with the plague. They would flee, leaving sick loved ones abandoned. But it was Christians who not only took care of their own sick family members, but it was Christians who also took care of people who were abandoned by the pagans around them. They would actually go into homes and look after people who had been abandoned. So much so that many of the pagan officials around worried among themselves about these Christians. These Christians are coming in, and not only are they taking care of their own folks, but they're taking care of our folks too. What kind of people would do something like that? Imagine being sick with the plague, being abandoned by your family members, being abandoned by everyone who loved you because they were fleeing for their own lives, and all of a sudden seeing people come in and take care of you and doing it out of their devotion to Christ. Oftentimes Christians went in taking care of people, nursing people back to life, only to find themselves sick and sometimes dying. And they didn't do that because they thought that they were immune to the kind of suffering and pain that other people experienced. They knew all about suffering. They knew all about pain. They knew that they too were subject to become ill and sick. But they did what they did because they were following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. While we were still weak, Christ died for us. Christ cared for us. Christ came in the midst of this sinful, broken world to claim us, to save us, to redeem us. And so those early Christians remembered who they were. They remembered who they were in the midst of a very debilitating disease, in the midst of fearful and frightening times. They remembered that they belonged to Christ, and that it compelled them to be loving and caring, even as they were concerned about their own safety. The second thing I would say is that we, in times like these, need to keep before us the big picture. During times when I feel a little anxious, and I find myself feeling more and more anxious these days for all kinds of reasons, anxious about our country, anxious about the state of the church, the larger church, just anxious. But often when I find myself being a little anxious, I remember the words of one of my spiritual heroes, Julian of Norwich. She was an anchorite who lived during the 14th century in Britain. An anchorite was a person who dedicated themselves to God by cloistering themselves in a small room and constantly praying to God. And prayer is one of the most important services that we can offer to our world right now. To continue to lift up our nation and our world in prayer. But Julian lived in a very disruptive time, a time when there was all kinds of social disruption, including the Great Plague that would later be called the Black Death. The plague started in China. Sound familiar? And would work its way across Europe, and by the time it was over, half of the population of Europe had died from the disease. Imagine that, waking up, discovering that half of your fellow human beings had died. It's speculated that Julian's own family had succumbed to the plague, which was one of the reasons it sent her into the anchorite ship. When she was 30 years old, she herself would become deathly ill and would have what could only be described as a near-death experience. And during that experience, she had 15 showings, what she called 15 showings or revelations of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she had this conversation or argument, if you will, with the resurrected Lord. And one of the things she asked Jesus, or at least argued with him about, was why? Why is the world the way it is? Why is the world a place of so much suffering and death? Why is the world a broken, sinful place? Why are things the way that they are? Why? And the word of the Lord was that all will be well. All will be well. All manners of things will be well. Friends, that's what we need to remember, not only during times like these, but it's also what we need to remember in the midst of our individual lives, in the midst of our individual trials and tribulations, that all will be well. That doesn't mean that we won't experience difficulties. It doesn't mean that we won't experience suffering. It doesn't mean that we won't have problems. We will have all of those. It doesn't mean that we will be immune from the kinds of things that befall other people. But what it does mean is that God is bigger than all of our problems. God is bigger than all of our suffering. God is bigger than everything that might threaten us. And that all of our lives and the life and the fate of our world are in the hands of a loving God. And that all will be well. That is our hope. That is what makes us make us different. That's what frees us up from the fear and anxiety of any given moment so that we can live as the living, giving, compassionate people that God has called us all to be. Because we know, as the Apostle Paul told the Romans, that all of our lives are in the hands of a loving God. And that the future belongs to God. A little later on in the book of the Romans, Paul will write to them. He says, "What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, shall famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? No, he says, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced, says Paul, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation, not even a coronavirus, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so, my friends, whatever you hear in the news, and the news can be a bit scary, whatever the developments of the next few days, let's remember what that the number one command in the Bible is, the command that is given again and again, the command not to be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's what we hear over and over again. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to be loving. Do not be afraid to be caring. Do not be afraid to open yourself up to one another. Do not be afraid, because all will be well, and that all of our lives are in the hands of the God who loves each and every one of us, and who indeed loves the whole world. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we hear so much lately that causes us great concern, concern for ourselves, concern for our loved ones. We ask that you give all of us the wisdom and the foresight to live and to act as your people. And we pray too for that peace, the peace that the Apostle Paul told us about in our reading for this morning, your peace. That in all that we do, that we be a peaceful and loving people. Be with us as we continue to see our way through as a country and as a household of faith in the next few weeks. Guide our thoughts and our hearts as we seek to be your faithful and obedient servants. And help us to be the face of the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that we do. And we ask these things in the name of our precious Lord. Amen.